Welcome to the Afro Fairy Goddess Podcast, a space dedicated to Afro spirituality from all over the world. Get a good dose of interviews, meditations, and a little bit of my own journey of being Black, spiritual, and magical. I'm your host, the Afro Fairy Goddess from Barbados. Now, on with the show. Hey everyone. So I hope you've been enjoying all of the podcast episodes for this season so far. I know some of the episodes were, you know, snatch edge worthy. So I hope that the information that was given to you guys, it was appreciated and it helped at least one person out there. It is, let me see, 3:28 a.m. on June the 24th. So literally I am recording this as is. I'm usually up around this time, just meditating and talking to my house, you know, prayers and, you know, just enjoying the peace and quiet that comes with, you know, the fast track, the fast paced stuff of the morning. There's not a lot of people on the road exercising. There aren't cars on the road. Children aren't going to school. It's just crickets, maybe some whistling frogs. My hubby is up working because he gets up at this time. He starts his day as well. So the house is movement, but it's a gentle movement. You know, you can gently start your day after you say your affirmations and whatnot. So this is more of a solo episode. I have no idea how long this is going to be. I don't expect it to be very long, but this is something that I had downloaded and I wanted to share it with you guys. And I'll try to be as succinct as possible. I'm still working out how I'm going to say it, but I really wanted to talk about the readiness of self, or the readiness of your spirit, you know, your willpower, and, you know, going to your altars at whatever time. We ask for so many things, but when it is time to receive and when it is time to be open to receive, we get stuck. We block our own blessings and we get in our way. And it's almost like a circle, almost. So are you, or are we, really ready for the things that we are doing? Are we really ready to be disciplined, to be consistent in our lives? Are we really ready for things like spell work, petitions, dealing with deities, working with deities if you're at that level? Because if you are a beginner or even an intermediate, if you don't have somebody who can teach you or guide you, you really shouldn't be messing around with that. But are you even ready for your ancestral connections? You know, everybody runs to these different types of deities, but they don't really connect back with their ancestral veneration and the hard conversations that you have with your ancestors. It's just you and them and honesty and truth. And are you ready to have those types of conversations and receive the information? Are you really ready for the results of your protection work? Because you're going to lose maybe some friends, some family members, some love interest that you have. And as we all know, sometimes it's not the person that you met yesterday or last month or last week. Sometimes it is the person who has been around you all your life who eventually falls apart or falls away, and it hurts. You know, people talk about partners and the grief of that type of relationship, and I get that. But friendship and the grief of friendship and losing a friend after you've invested time and you've grown together and can be just as devastating, especially somebody who, you know, who might be spiritually like-minded, and then that disappears or it falls apart. That can hurt just as bad as losing a lover, you know. And are you ready for the responsibility of being initiated into anything, really, African traditional religion or what have you? Are you ready for the responsibility of taking care of sacred portals in your home, in your space, on your compound? These things are not to be used or created willy-nilly. Are you ready to take the time to take care of them and give attention? And I think that's why too so many of the elders, even here on this podcast, have been speaking so highly of your Ori and your ancestral relationship and veneration, because it really, really encourages you to be consistent. Because if you can have a deep connection with your ancestors and your ancestry, you can apply that anywhere on your path. And truth be told, the connection with your ancestry and the connection with your divine, whatever you call him / and or her, is really important. Even maybe even more important than the deities that we get caught up in on the various forms of social media. Are you really, really willing to show up every day? Or if it's not every single day, every week, or what have you, whatever it is that you have been assigned to take care of, are you really willing to show up consistently? You get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's say you talk with your ancestor altar and there are things that you do there, but then maybe you have a different shrine that you have been given by a godparent or something that you are supposed to do every single day. Yeah, it sounds tedious, but that's the whole process. It shows your commitment. It shows your love. It shows your sacrifice. What you're willing to sacrifice to gain your overall development. Are you willing to feed continuously and consistently? Feed them with your time, your love, with your food, with your divinations of various forms. Are you willing to cleanse this space and take care of it? Are you willing to spend time giving thanks and gratitude? We always ask for things, but do you just show up because it's just nice to show up? It's just nice to be here, you know? Cut flowers from your garden just because it's nice to give the essence of this plant to this energy who walks with you just because. Are you really ready to open up to ancestral veneration and the generational trauma that comes from that? And I really, really think that our ancestors, when we first start this walk and, you know, we begin to have that connection with our ancestors, I think that some of the things that we are supposed to know take time to unwrap, because our ancestors know that we can't take all that information one time. So you might think, I've been doing this for 1.5 years now, and it just feels as though I'm not getting anywhere with this. I keep putting up my altar. I keep cleaning it. I'm going to it. I'm talking to it. And it doesn't seem as though, quote unquote, anybody is home. They are there. They are there because you are alive and you carry them in your blood, your marrow, your bones, your spirit. They're there. And they know that there are some things you are not ready for. So they're waiting for you to be open and ready to receiving information. You might be the one to heal something that an ancestor cannot because they've crossed over. And they ask of us the same way how we ask of them. That's how they get venerated. That's how they get uplifted. And as they uplift and as they venerate, you venerate as well because it is your line, your blood. And there are just some things that we ain't ready for. We say we are. I had a reading. I'm not going to tell you what it is because that's giving out my ashay. But I had a reading done that gave me some information or showed me some information about an ancestor that crossed, and it was hard to take in. I thought I was ready for that information, you know, seeking out the connections for things that I thought I was ready for. Yeah, man, I ready. I seen these guys every morning. I talking with who and who every morning. And I must know I am ready. And then when the ball drop, it's like, holy shit. Family secrets and ways in which people moved and people who you thought were one way when they're alive, but they left something that they were ashamed of or too scared to talk about. And then they come to you because they need that veneration. And now you're being asked to help. Are you ready for that type of connection and that type of commitment? Be ready for it because it will come. You are them and they are you. I remember one of my elders speaking about the generational traumas that come out in the family via birth. Babalo. And it was this discussion here a couple months ago, actually. He came to Barbados. My Olarisha was the host of it. And I mean, this is stuff that I knew. But then when you open up this discussion to the public, people were very new to it. So you had to give grace for that. And so, okay, so for example, let's say a baby is not born or a child, a younger child has been born and they're now finding their characteristics and their own personality and the way how they move throughout life. And you realize this little boy or this little girl gets on like Auntie Mavis or Uncle Gerald or Uncle Frederick, like their mannerisms, you know, you look just like your great grandmother, or you look like this great aunt, or this child look like so and so, or their mannerisms. And usually that is a rebirth of that person who may have transitioned because the work was not completed. Their karmic debt has not been done. It has not been paid. So they have to come back and relive this life doing what they were supposed to do. Personally, I know that I have been here before. I know. There's a path in my life that I know within the gut of my being that I've been here before. I feel like I have repeated things before, and I'm trying to say without saying, because some of this shit is private, but I know that I've walked this walk before. There are like deja vu shit. And even the connection with my husband. I know. Like the first time we met, like we were trying to wrap our brains around where we met before and who knows who, like did we work before? And like there was a spiritual connection there that we were not aware of, you know, and being with him, just knowing that I've done this before, seeing his face, even in like intimate settings, not to get TMI, but intimate settings and the rhythm of us moving in this world, even how we work together, I know we have done this before. Whether it is that I'm doing this to help the ancestral line, whether this is a lesson, or maybe it's just, it was such a blissful time that I wanted to live through it again. Maybe. But nobody can tell me different. That's like my intuition. If I go and get a specific reading for a specific thing, I'm not going to be shocked by the answer, because I know there's something there that I know that I've done this before. You know what I mean? So that's just like my two cents, trying to say without saying. Are you ready to just give thanks for not having material possessions? There are many of us who may not have access to money right now for whatever reason. You know, with the whole panorama, nod, nod, wink, wink, that happened with us, the world, us, and trying to navigate what the hell is this shit, and all the things that came from that. Like, those who listened from before, we had a whole volcano. We had a whole volcano eruption in the Caribbean. Like, what is that? What is that? A volcano? A humongous shift happened, and I think now that everybody is slowly trying to find their rhythm. I don't know about the rest of the world. I can only speak on where I live. I feel like we're just going back to the same thing, to be honest. I think that what happened was a urgency and emergency wake-up call, and I feel like those who were woke before realized what was happening, and then there were a few others who were awake, and they realized, oh my god, I'm a healer, or I'm a diviner, or I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm supposed to be doing that, and what am I doing in my life? And now you're at the beginning stages of this journey, and it has caused a shift to happen, yes, but I think that there is still a set of people who just going back to normal because it's comfortable. You don't have to worry about shit. We're going back to our normal jobs. We're getting back our money and getting back into that comfortability of things. And it's kind of scary because I feel like as the very littlest or one of the littlest people spiritually in the world, like I am putting my energy into divining for people. And I mean, I'm not a very big person in that degree. Nobody knows who I am, but I'm trying to do and live an honest and humble life. Oh, I'm trying to live an honest and humble life. Oh God, I'm trying to live an honest and humble life. And trying to give my gift where I can help people, or at least one person. Somewhere there might be one person that I help who might be the big person to help the collective in a bigger way, you know? And sometimes you put so much energy into trying to help people and they don't want it, or they're not interested, and you gotta be prepared for that. Because you see the potential in people who are so talented. They could command things. They manipulate magic in ways that you wish that you could.
But for whatever reason, there is a block. And no matter how many times you show them that this is good, them ain't bout it. And I guess the Afro-Americans on my podcast would make mention to Harriet Tubman. I heard saying, you know, I freed 1,000 slaves and I could save 1,000 more or something along the lines of that. Please forgive me, I'm not African-American, so I hope I'm saying that right. But basically, she tried to help people. And there were so many other people that she could have helped, but they didn't want to go with her. They did not want to go. And she had to be okay with that. The same way how you have to be okay with it as well. And not beat yourself over and over, because you can only do so much. Once you have delivered your message, once you have done what you are supposed to do, the rest is up to whoever you have delivered that to accept or reject. It is sad and it can be heartbreaking, but you got to be ready for that. And yes, going back to the topic of giving thanks for not having material possessions, no car, no home, no money, but you're still giving thanks because you know you are still here. You know you are capable of manifesting whatever you want. You are capable of attracting all that is needed to amplify the space of which you inhabit. You see a lot of people, you know, with the aesthetic, both on and off lane, you know, with the herbs on the candles, the golden trim of your knives and athames, you're walking with the beads in your hair, on your ankles, on your waist, you know, copper on your fingers, crystals on your hands and your feet, and not knowing or not recognizing or even devaluing the simplicity of everything. Yes, of course, all of these additions are beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I wear them. But don't do it because it's something fabulous and fantastical and you get to show off. Sometimes it's just be good to be humble. Learn to be humble. Learn to travel light. I find that when we are humbled by spirit, when we are humbled by the divine, when things are taken away from you, you are supposed to be either. Hopefully that sentence made sense. So either you are supposed to be humbled by your situation because you became arrogant and caught up in material possessions and a materialistic way of life, and you were supposed to be on a journey and you're not listening, so things have been taken away from you because you need to learn a lesson. Maybe you'll get them back, maybe not. And it's not just material possessions, it's the maybe the materialistic way you look at life. You might lose your vision, you might lose a limb or break your hand for like a month or something like that, to really make you understand how important your contribution is. God, I hope I'm making sense. Or it might be the case that you're being humbled to walk light. When there's a lot of shit going on in your life, eviction notice, bill collectors calling, you're losing all the stuff, the communication with your partner is falling apart, you don't know what to do, you're feeling lost. That is a lesson, a journey, a walk that you are being either being prepared for or you're walking on. And you lose all of this shit because you're supposed to travel late. You can't walk with a negative ego when you're going through this stuff. You gotta be real humble and open to learning and listening day by day by day. Not just in a particular circumstance, but day by day by day. And I do not know who's out there who's going to listen to this, but to the person or people who are about to lose their home, or they've just lost their job, seriously, I'm talking to a person out there. This is a current download. There's somebody who's going to be listening to this either today or in the next couple of weeks. You're not listening and you're not being open to the messages that are coming to you. You're not listening to the divine, and you're not open right now to something in your life that is blocking you. You're actually a very powerful person or persons, and you're actually capable of manifesting the dream house somewhere in the country that you wanted. I don't know who that is for, but hopefully it goes to the right person. I'm not trying to freak out anybody, but that just came to me. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and I get all these random downloads. Sometimes I try not to talk about them because it can freak out people, and I don't mean to do that. There are many of us also who block our blessings because we don't think we are worthy of receiving them. You don't think that we are worthy of getting money. Money has been looked at, or luxury. I think luxury is a better word. We don't think that luxury is good. We think of it as something that is bad and haughty, and you know, we don't really, some of us think that luxury is a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with being luxurious. You deserve it, and you can manifest it. You can get a car. You can get a house. But mentalism is what breaks us down. Mentalism in how we manifest, whether we are deserving. Are you ready to deserve what you have been working for so long? Are you ready to receive goodness? You can't receive goodness unless you let go of that trauma, whatever that looks like for you. Are you purposely dimming your light because you don't want people to think that you're trying to be better than them? I saw a post a couple days ago with a girl on Twitter. I know her very well. And she made a post and said, all right, let me give some context. So right now in Barbados, we're in Heritage Month. We speak a lot about heritage and what it means to be Afro-Caribbean. And from like May-ish, shake my hand on and off. From May-ish to like the ending of August, it's emancipation season and it's crop over. A lot of y'all might know from Rihanna going on the trucks and the feathers and the beads and whatnot. And some people call it carnival, but we don't have carnival. That's just a historical thing in terms of the name. But ours is called crop over. And the last day where you go to frolic and revel with the bikini mass is called Kudumen Day. That's a very truncated version of what I just did. But if you like, you can go on Google and check it out for yourself. But know that things are opening back up because everything has been closed off. People are now opening back up for the fets and the parties and all these different things. You know, some people like to dress up. You know, you've been out for like 2 years and some people want to make the effort, and girls want to get their nails done. They want to put on their multicolored wigs and change their hairstyles and get their lashes done. It's so nice to see people just drinking life again. It's so beautiful. But the screenshot that was sent, it was said via the girl, you know, for those of you, basically she was saying, for those of you who are going out to buy new clothes and new this and new that, we normal people don't care what you do. You don't have to go to every event looking like that, or you don't have to go to every event wearing this and that. Normal people like us, I guess she's part of the normal crowd, who would just dress normal. And I was like, who gave you the right to tell somebody that they shouldn't be luxurious? And who said that the people that dressing up doing it for you? Who said that the luxury isn't for them? There have been many young people in my community who just could not take the pressure and unfortunately committed suicide because the pressure is too strong. They don't know what to do. They didn't have an outlet. We were put in jail, quote unquote, lockdown, quarantine, whatever it is you want to call it. But now people are happy and they're experiencing life. For me, mangoes taste so different. I remember the first time I got to be outside under the tree in the sun and I bit in that mango. And I ate that thing so slow with my eyes closed. It was almost like an aphrodisiac. I was like, yes, I needed to be outside. And that was my expression. People who are out, who dress up like that, that's their expression. Whatever luxury looks like to you is your expression. And if you don't agree with it, well, that is your problem. What's he saying? That sounds like a you problem. Well, that's a you problem. You gotta decide what luxury mean to you and stop chopping up people's lives because you feel a way about it. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Are you willing to receive luxury? Are you willing to amplify your light to contribute to the collective? The collective right now needs light. It needs something bigger than happiness. It needs joy. Joy is, I think, the epitome. I can't even find a word for it. Ecstasy. It's an amplification of freedom. Three little letters, joy. It's so big. When you close your eyes and think of the word joy. Feel it in your heart. But right now, put your hand over your heart and think of the word joy. What does that look like to you? Are you willing to have joy? Beautiful, abundant, manifested, uninterrupted joy. Happiness is the beginning, but joy is the end. What the old people say, joy cometh in the morning. Well, it must be morning by now because it's pushing to 4. But this is what we are trying to achieve in our lives. We want true, uninhibited joy. Strip away looking for the right career. Strip away looking for the right house, the right partner, the whatever amount of money you want to have, because it will never be enough. We always want more money. We always want more money. We can't put a number to money of want in our life. If we remove all of that, what are we looking for? We're looking for joy. And are we willing and ready to find it? Because let me tell y'all something. If you're looking for it, you're not going to find it. It's living inside of you. You've been walking around looking for it, and it's inside of you. It is your light. It is your connection. It shoots from your toes and your fingers and your hair. It oozes out your eyes when you cry. The good cry, not the sad one. Joy is not contained. Ever realize that you laugh so, you get so happy, like you're happy, something has happened, a good thing has happened, you're happy, and then you just start to cry for no reason. You become so happy at things that it can no longer be entertained and you start to cry, that is joy. You're happy and you laugh or you giggle for the first time in months or weeks. A laugh that you didn't know existed, because for years and years and years you have been traumatized, and for whatever reason that day, you laughed and you laughed and you laughed, and it that happiness bubbled to the surface and it exploded and you laughed hard. That is joy. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of being contained. I'm tired of being in the box. We were put in this box before COVID. We really were. I think that whole thing was just, you know, not saying that there wasn't medical things happening and still are medical things happening, but there was a part of it that was a social experiment. For real, you could believe it, you could not. That was a social experiment to see what people were like and what makes us break, what we were interested to. And if you think that that didn't happen and that people didn't take digits to find out, you know, this percent of people and that percent of people, and they have the information. It was a big social experiment in addition to, you know, the sickness that happened and people dying. And do not be contained anymore. Do not dim your light for anyone anymore, especially yourself. Remove doubt, remove fear, and replace it with love. And you will find joy. She's there, waiting to explode in your life. I promise you. Joy does come in the morning. See you guys in 2 weeks. See you guys in 2 weeks. Bye, guys.
Well, that's our show for this week. If you've listened all the way through and want to connect, join some workshops, or even be on the show, check me on Twitter and Patreon under the handle The Afro Fairy Goddess. You can check out the website also at theafrofairygoddess.com, or if you want to drop me a line, email me directly at theafrofairygoddesspodcast@gmail.com. I am the Afro Fairy Goddess, and as always, don't forget to believe in your magic.